all of those things. But he preaches to me every Sunday. When I get done, he tells me what the Lord's been speaking to him. So I said, okay, you're going to have to tell them what the Lord is speaking to you. So I know if you'll help him preach, the Lord will speak through him this morning. And in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray for your word. We pray for, Lord, your anointing, Father, to give him clarity, Father, to cause the word to flow, and that you minister to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, I don't know what to say. There's been a lot going on this morning already, so leave it to the Lord to get everybody stirred up before I even get up here. So, like Lisa said, she asked me to speak. I'm like, nah, this ain't what I do. I just sit in the back. I told her I was like the man hiding the wheat in the wine press. And then she said, what did you say? When I was the man hiding the wheat in the wine press, then you said, oh, mighty man of the Lord. Yep. I was like, well, all right. She called me out on that one. And like I say, the Lord, he's been speaking with me for a while now. I basically got him to say, just deal with me, Lord, and see, help me understand what you want me to know. Just push me in that direction. Just let me out there. And he did. So, now, like I say, Lisa, I talk to her all the time about things he shows me. That's kind of why my message ain't really focused on one thing, because he's just always talking. I call him Jabbering Jesus, because he's just always jabbering with me. But then finally I did get up here, so I told her, I was like, I felt like I was Peter standing in the boat, getting ready to step out into the water. You know, I was like, all right, Lord, if that's what you really want me to do, I guess it's your calling, so I'm headed out. So I got a couple of things. I don't know the way to say it. The Lord, like, gives me, lets me see things different, I guess. Not like the road to Emmaus, like I told Lisa. You know, that's kind of a reflection of our life with Jesus and the Lord. You know, even though we don't see him, like, on our journey, he is there. And then eventually he opens your eyes and reveals himself to you. So you look back, it might have been something that happened 5 years ago. Maybe you didn't get the job you was thinking you was going to get, or the house you wanted, or whatever. But the whole time he was there with you, walking, you just didn't see him. And he's there to guide you and lead you where he wants. But that's kind of what my sermons went a little bit. I don't know. I never thought I'd be standing up here preaching. Ever. I hope so. A little closer. All right. I'm new at this. You gotta cut me a break. But I guess I'll read some scriptures here. I guess my first one would be from Matthew 13. Verses 10 through, I forget what the other one was, 10 through 17. All right. Then the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the crowds in parables? Jesus replied to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has spiritual wisdom because he is receptive to God's word, to him more will be given, and he will be richly and abundantly supplied. But whoever does not have spiritual wisdom because he has devalued God's word, hold on, my tablet's going crazy. Even that what he has will be taken away from him. This is the reason I speak to the crowds in parables, because while having the power of seeing, they do not see, and while having the power of hearing, they do not hear. Nor do they understand and grasp spiritual things. In them, the prophecy of Isaiah being fulfilled, which says, you will hear and keep on hearing, but never understanding. And you will look and keep on looking, but never comprehend. For the nations hear, the nation's heart has grown hard, and with their ears they hardly hear, and they have tightly closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understanding with their heart, and turn to me, and it would heal them. And see, that's what we talked about this morning, like Amen. Kim and them all talking about being healed, Stephanie. It's, I don't know, he's here somewhere today. He's with us, because it's not coincidence, always comes up. Yeah, like say, even with Beth talking, like, just because you don't understand something, like with Lynn can spout out all this great knowledge and wisdom, like terminology and everything. You're like, oh my land, it's like, I can't understand half of it. But we see it a different way than he does. And that's why I say he lets me see things way, way different. And now where was that? All right, but blessed, spiritually aware and favored by God are your eyes, because they see, and your ears because they hear. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, many prophets and righteous men who were honorable and in the right standing with God long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. All right. That was one more. That was my master. And then messed my tablet today, so she set it up for me. Oh, and here's the thing for the road to Emmaus. And then that very day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking to each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing it, Jesus himself came upon and began walking with them. But their eyes were miraculously prevented from recognizing him. That's what I say earlier. You know, he's with you, you might not see it. Then Jesus asked them, what are you discussing with one another as you walk along? They stood still, looking brokenhearted. One of them, named Caiaphas, answered him and said, are you the only stranger visiting Jerusalem who is unaware of the things in which have happened here in these recent days. He asked, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in deed and in word, in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel and set our nation free. Indeed, besides all these, it has the third day since these things happened. And also, some of the women among us shocked us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find him, his body. Then they came back, saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it exactly as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to trust and believe in everything that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, being with Moses and through all the written of the prophets, he explained and interpreted for them all the things pertaining to himself found in the scriptures. That's another thing there. You know, he explained it to them and revealed it, right? Yep, that's, yeah, so you can open your eyes to see. You know, just because, that's like, you know, what was it, about a year or so, I had cataract surgery, Galen had cataract surgery, and there was another guy that was here at conference, and, you know, they went, in mine, they said that I had a detached retina, and it couldn't be fixed, that's what they said, and my wife, she was all upset and stuff. I'm like, don't worry about it, it'll be healed. The Lord will do what he needs to do with it. Amen. And I'm still waiting, but like when I was praying about it, you know, I think I need to be more specific in what I say, ask for, because I think I asked him for my sight. I think he gave me more spiritual sight so than physical sight. And that's, yes, I know, that's what I say. You got to pay attention to what you're saying to him, because you ask for one thing, and, well, I gave you your spiritual sight. So, I guess I'm doing okay. All right. Then he approached the village where they were going, and he acted as if he were going further, but they urged him not to go on, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day has just about ended." So he went inside and stayed with them, and it happened that he was reclined at the table with them. He took the bread and blessed the bread, breaking it and beginning giving it to them. Then their eyes were suddenly opened by God, and he clearly recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning in us while he was talking with us on the road and opening these scriptures to us. So, yep. And that's what I say. I've been here for a while in different things. I know one other time, Brother Cutshaw was here, and he prophesied over me, you know, wealth. And I was like thinking, you know, Mega Millions. Go buy some lottery tickets. Yeah, no, it's a word from the Lord. It's going to happen. So anyway, I'm still here, so I didn't win. But like I say, time went on, and then I look back at it now, and I did see the wealth, but it was a whole different type of wealth that I got. It was, I started helping Dan, working on the side, you know, helping him out, and I made some actual money helping him. And then also while helping him, I've gained knowledge. That's another source of wealth. So I had financial wealth, and then knowledge and wealth. And then the other part would be the friendship and relationships you get from that. So you have a wealth of your church family and other people. Yeah, so there's just a lot of things that I can look back and see that he's done. That's like when we first moved here on the hill. We was living out Tri Lake, and we ended up moving because Jamie's dad, he gave us that house, and he moved somewhere else. So we moved up here. There's one way in and one way out. And before we came to here, we wasn't really going to church or anything. And I guess that's why he placed me there, or us there, because now we hear a lot. We do a lot for the church, and I'm glad for it. Every morning I go to work, I've got to pass the church. If I got to go to the grocery store, I've got to go past the church. So you always see it, and you're reminded of it every day. So I don't know what his plans are or why he does things he does, but he, you know, even though we don't see it, he's there. He's guiding us somehow. I don't know what his plans are, but like I say, I never thought I'd be standing up here preaching in front of people. So that's it. That's who he is. He sneaks up on me. I got my other notes here. What else I got here? I don't have a whole lot of other notes really to read on. But I think there's, like I say, and like we're talking about the healing thing, I don't see why we can't do it ourselves. You know, I think a lot of it's because we have disbelief. We don't trust ourselves, because there's, yes, just because a doctor, doctors are good people, right? There's one, and they know things are going on, but yes, but there's no reason why we shouldn't, you know, just because we say we believe, do you honestly believe? That's like he questioned Peter, you know, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do. Peter, do you love me? You know, make 100% sure. Do you truly believe you want to be healed, or what you need? That's like your, in your faith. I question myself sometimes. You're like, man, I don't know, but it's just a hard thing to get past. So I don't know what else I want to speak on. Jesus is roofing. I work in Winchester. There's a truck rides around, and it has Jesus Roofing written right on it. That's the name of the company. So every time I see it, I'm reminded of the men that ripped the roof off and lowered their friend down to be healed by Jesus. But see, that's the other thing, you know. I think when you get to a certain point, maybe spiritually, you start to see him more. He reveals himself more to you, and everything you see. It's not just because you show up on Sunday at church and you see it, it's everywhere. I pulled up behind a dump truck one time on the back of it, and it said, "Would you follow Jesus this close?" And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." And it just makes you think. It's like, okay, that's, thank you, Lord. That's what the message you had for me. So I'm just basically just telling you some of my stories that he's told me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I told you. Don't leave free money on the table.
Yep.
But you know what? Wealth is generational.
Yes.
And the wealth that is being planted in you, you saw some of that this evening come back on the water, speaking into your soon son-in-law.
Oh, yes. That's what I say, you know. Well, yeah, I know she. Well, that's what I was doing. Like I say, actually, she's. Yes. That's like I was saying. I was standing back here, and Lisa was up here preaching, and I was like. Because she asked me to preach before, like I said, I told her, I said, nah, I said, that ain't what I do. I just stay in the back, just leave me back here. I'm quite happy back here. But anyway, I was back here one day, and she, I just like talked to the Lord, and I said, well, if she calls me out, I'll go speak. And then sure enough, she spouted out, and I come up to her after church, I put my arm around her, I said, well, I guess I'm busted. You done got me. So, but then, like I say, I had been worried about this for a while, stressed, like, oh, man, do I really have to go up and speak? But I done told you I would, so I'm not going to pull back. I just got to step out my faith and obedience. So I hope I'm doing good for you all. I hope. I don't know. In my book, I thought it was the Bible for Dummies, but it's not. Because that's for Morgan. She wanted to see it. Because I always told her, I said, I got the Bible for Dummies. If I get to preach, I'll bring it with me. But it's a smart guide. That's what I need. No, I'm not the most worldly person or whatever you would call it. But that's my cheat book. And I guess that's all I got for you for now. I don't know if I'll be up here again at some point, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. Depending on what the boss says. She's the boss.
Yeah, it's tough too. A lot of people think that, you know, if you're called to speak or you're called to some kind of ministry, like you've got to fit into a mold.
Yes.
That always bothered me when I first started out in ministry, was like trying to fit and be like everybody else. But when I started letting God just use the unique that I am, then I started being more comfortable, it started coming easier. And sometimes, like, we stand up the first time, especially the first time you stand up, it's like you're so nervous.
Yep, that's like me right now.
Like you feel like you've got all this in you to say, but you don't know how to get it out. But yeah, that stuff comes easier as you begin just to let God exercise that gift.
Yes, and I think that's.
But I encourage you to be who you are, who your uniqueness, who God has called you to be in your own personality. Because when you begin to speak that way, God, that's what God called. He called your uniqueness. He called the uniqueness of Chuck to bring something that was unique, that would touch people's lives in a unique way. And so, you know, sometimes we get so busy when we're called in the ministry trying to fit into a certain mold. And it really is. God has called us all to be unique.
Yes.
In our own types of ministries and the way we minister to people and things like that, because we touch different people.
Yes.
The word that we bring is meant to be unique.
Yes, that's another thing. That's like I told Lisa about, like, when we have communion, too. We always come up here, and it's always quiet, and it's a somber thing. It's like, man, it's a, y'all act like it's a funeral or something. But it should be a celebration in a way. You know, you should raise up the drink to Jesus, you know, the victor over death, the savior of our soul. That's who, that's what he did. But that's like something he revealed to me. It's like, I don't know if it was right or not, but that's just the way I kind of looked at it. It's like, all right, Lord, that's just the way it should be. And I told Lisa about it. I always tell her everything. Huh? Yep. I put a lot of notes in her head, so she. So I guess that's about all I got for now. I don't know. All right, well, I guess I'm done for now, maybe. I guess. So thank you all, and I'll put it back to Lisa. So
you all right? Amen. You know, I think it's powerful to hear, and I always say to people when I ask them to get up to speak, I said, I need to hear what you're hearing. You know, it's powerful when somebody comes back to you, and this is what the Lord said to me today. That is your treasure and your nugget. Hang on to it, and that is something that the Lord dropped in your heart. You know, and then when you hear back from the congregation, well, this is what the Lord said to me, then it encourages my heart that it's reaching the ears of the people and that God is bringing an understanding of the word. The other thing I love about it is, you know, women, I think, have their own, like, style of worship. And women generally are more out there with worship and dance and things like that. But I love it when men stand up and worship, too. And sometimes it is that still, quiet smallness. But when men stand up and begin to declare that, yes, I'm a man, but there's a soft spot in my heart for the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that's precious to me. When men stand up and take their place and you know, and speak out in this house, we have a balance of all that God is saying and all of that. And Chuck started with what he said about the communion. And he said to me, he said, you know, we come up there solemn and we do it in a respect, you know, a respect that's due in remembrance of me. But he said, you know, what we need to do sometimes is come up there and say, you know, when we're lifting the cup or we're drinking the cup and saying, hey, man, do you remember that time when he told me to get out of the boat and we walked on the water and I thought for sure I was going down and, man, he grabbed my hand and put me back in the boat? Man, I remember that. Yeah. And then I said, yeah, you remember that time when that we were in the church, man, and that lady was bowed over and she looked like a you know, a pretzel or something all bent up, and Jesus just walks up to her and like grabs her by the hand and all of a sudden she stands up. Remember that? And then, we just start revealing and saying, yeah, man, I remember that time when those lepers were there, and Jesus just like walking along, and he says to them, be healed, and all of a sudden, the lepers are healed. Man, cheers to you, Jesus. Like that we come with a remembrance, and as he said, as often as you come together, do this in remembrance of me. So we partake of the bread and the wine every time we come together, but we do it in celebration. And maybe for you, it's not the woman bowed over or the man getting out of the boat, but it's like, man, do you remember when I went for that doctor's appointment and the tests were clear? And thank you, Jesus. And we have a testimony in remembrance, and we celebrate who Jesus is to us when we come together. And your gifting may not be prophetic, and it may not be big and bold and loud, but I love what they said. It is when God drops a nugget in your heart, it's yours. It is yours. And he speaks to everyone in this house. Not just the preacher, not just the worship leader, not just pastors. Man, when he speaks to you, sometimes we talked in our Bible study Thursday night about the whisper of God. Like, I love the roar of God, but I also love the whisper of God. There was already a lot of roaring going on in the mind of Elijah, right? He didn't need more roar. He needed the whisper of God. And sometimes, man, it's just riding down the road when God just plops that thought in your mind, and you're like, that's a God moment. And God has dropped that in my heart, and that's mine. I was this close this morning to walking over to Stephanie and saying, you need to go pray for Trish when she walked up on the stage. I literally had just started to go tell her, go pray with Trish, and she walked up on the stage and prayed for Trish. Because I started to do it, and the Lord stopped me and said, no, you let somebody else walk up. And in that moment, she walked up, because I can do it. But he also wants you to step out in your faith. And when he's putting that in your heart, you're like, Lord, is that you? Lord, is that you? Lord, is that you? Yes, it's you. It's you. He talked about Gideon when he started out. He said, man, I'm the least in my father's house. When I said something to him, I said, no, you're a mighty man of valor. Because that's what the angel saw. He didn't see the least in his father's house. He saw a mighty man of valor. But before Gideon ever went to do what he did, he put a fleece out before the Lord and said, Lord, if this is you, let the fleece be wet on top and the ground be dry. And the Lord did that. He's like, all right, then, Lord, let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. And he did that. And then Chuck put out a fleece and said, Lord, if you want me to do this, let Pastor Lisa call me out by name. And I called him out by name that very morning. Because sometimes when God speaks it to you, it is for the moment and for the season and for the time. Amen? And yes. And never underestimate the power of God that is in you to move and to speak and to be obedient to his word.
Them not being afraid that the Lord tells you to do something to do that. I remember being 13. And it was only maybe a couple of weeks or months before that. I think it was Pastor Kenny Hill had come here. And he called me up, and I was back at the old church, and he had me stand up on top of the altar because he's a tall guy and I was little at the time. And he probably said, there's a prophet's mantle on top of you, you know, and stuff. And at that point, I didn't know what that really meant. I'd heard people prophesy, but it was like a couple weeks later, we're in church, and I just felt the Lord telling me to go prophesy to Wilda McConaughey. And, you know, of course, Wilda back then, like, Wilda's always been, like, she's always had a special place in this church, and even for kids, she loved kids and stuff, and was always good to us. And so the Lord said, you know, he said, I want you to go over there, and he started speaking to me to this, just a simple word said that came to pass. That was what, and I'm just like, Lord, I don't do that, you know, I don't know what, you know, like, but it, man, it's like my heart started beating out of my chest so much, I thought, if I don't go over and say this, I'm going to have a heart attack. And so I just went over there and I said it, and that's all I said. And it, you know, I don't even know what it meant to her at the time, but at that time I knew that's how I really began to recognize the voice of the Lord speaking to me. And then the more you begin to exercise that gift, the easier it became. But it just took that moment to go, no, this is the Lord speaking to me. Yeah.
And if I don't say what I got to say, I'm going to die. Yeah. You know, and now, when the Lord speaks to me, I don't feel like I'm going to die if I, you know, but yeah, you still get a little excited over it and stuff, but God will use you even as a young, you know, like I was probably maybe 12, 13 when that happened, you know, and then I've had little kids come up to me being out places that I preach and come up and go, or even at youth camp, I've had them come up sometime and go, can I say something to you? And I'm always like, absolutely, because normally, like, if there's a kid speaking to you, they've heard the Lord, and there's something, yeah, I'm like, I want to hear what you have to say. Absolutely, I want you to speak to me. So.
Amen. And most of the time, their hearts pound out of their chest. And even if they're wrong, it's okay. Because they have to have a place to step out that's safe, that says, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to try it. I remember very clearly and distinctly one of the times that the Lord spoke to me concerning children, and it was when Duke was here, and they had to remove Duke's leg. And I took the girls with me. Was it just Georgia? And I took her with me to do a visitation, to visit with Duke at the hospital, and he had lost his leg, and so we went in to pray. Well, when I got there, they weren't going to let me take Georgia in. I didn't realize that because she was young that she couldn't go in. And I said, I apologize. I didn't even think about it. I said, but Dan was with me. One of us can stay with her, you know, whatever. And she said, the nurse came over. She said, I'm going to let you go in and you know, let her visit with him. She said, just don't be real long. And I said, fine. I'm good with that. We'll do that. We walked into the room. She had no idea why we were there. We walked into the room, and we got ready to pray. And when we did, she walked around the bed and laid her hand on the leg that they had removed. And I had never told her that's why we were there, that they had removed his leg or anything like that. She walked around the bed, laid her hand on his leg, and began to pray for him. And me and Robin looked at each other and said, that's the Holy Ghost right there. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. So don't you think your kids can hear from God or don't know, you know, and that's when I encourage them in the service. Man, when the service is moving like this and you don't know what to do with it, listen, because God might be sending you I'm going to tell you, there's something precious about a little kid that God speaks to and sends them to you and lets them lay hands on you. I'm like Jeremy, man, I'll receive that every time in Jesus' name. But there must be a place that is safe that you can step out. One of the things that's precious about youth camp, it's a safe place. And man, they step out and start praying over people and prophesying and doing those kind of things. There's not always an atmosphere created for that. Amen. And you know, in a service like this, when God begins to speak to your heart, step out into, because you may be the one that God is speaking to step out and move. God will never send you to rebuke or to tear down. It will always be, and here's how you can gauge it, it would always be a word of affirmation and encouragement in the body. Amen. And so if God is sending you to lay hands on somebody, to encourage them, to affirm them, to pray over them, what you say, what if I'm wrong? Well, what if you're right? And that's their moment. Amen. In Jesus' name. I was praying over, we were in conference this weekend. A lady came up to me at the end. She said, I was standing in service praying, Lord, help me just catch my breath. She said, my anxiety is so out of control, and just help me to catch my breath. And she said, I said that to the Lord, and you walked over and laid your hands on my lungs. And I knew that was God pouring breath into my lungs. I had no idea, but God did, and she did. And in that moment, God met her there. That's the preciousness of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. As Chuck was saying, you don't always see him in the journey. On the road to Emmaus, he was right with them, and they didn't see him, but he was there, and he was available. And he was accessible. And in the parables, we don't always see and understand everything, but it is in the journey that God speaks to us more and more and more. Amen? Amen.
Dad was ministering and stuff. Of course, that time, too, I felt like this is dad's service. We're in a new church I've never been in. But he looked at me and said, do you have a word? And I felt like I had a word for this young lady sitting on the front. So I went over, I prophesied over her, and she never made a face, never like, and I thought, man, I sat down and thought, man, I missed, I should have just kept my mouth shut. I went to the back to like, you know, help Dad with his stuff while he was, you know, with the pastor and things. This lady comes over and she's bawling. She said, that was my daughter you ministered to this morning. She said, I've never been in church before. And she said, but everything you said to her, she said, my daughter goes here regularly. I don't come with her. She said, but everything you said was, we had just talked about that this morning in the car on the way here. And so the prophecy was not even for the daughter. It was for the mom that had never been there. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, you think, boy, I must have really missed that. I messed that up. You know, like you think I messed up and you don't realize, like you said, it's not always for you or it's for that person. There's somebody else that that's for. So, you know, just again, just some encouragement for people that are looking to make, you know, feel like, you know, is the Lord using me? Is the Lord speaking to me? You know, chances are, yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Yep.
Yes, he is. Because he speaks to us in everything. If we have ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord, just speak to me. Amen. Let's stand this morning. The preciousness of his spirit in this house this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and I love what Chuck said. He said, I asked the Lord to show me things. I believe that's critical. Ask the Lord to show you things, to direct your steps, because he wants to speak to you more than we're even willing to listen. If we'll just, sometimes it's in our silence that he speaks that precious word that can cause a total shift in our attitude or our heart or whatever it is that God wants to make real. Amen, in Jesus' name.